Blog Talk Radio.
Another segment of Bringing Sexy Back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, too. This is our anniversary show. Bringing Sexy Back was launched last year and this day. But the first show didn't go on until, I think it was August, it didn't go on until August, but I had launched it today, a year ago. So I hope everybody has appreciated all the shows that we had. And tonight we're going to be discussing some of the episodes from the Bring Your Sexy Back segment. But right now, I want to discuss a little bit about the Trayvon Martin verdict. And I have Black Man 37 on the line. I'm going to bring him in and get his opinion on the verdict. Hello, Black Man. How are you?
Well, how are you?
I am just fantastic.
Good. Well, so, like I was stating in a show I just came from, I wasn't surprised at the verdict. I believe that the whole thing was doomed since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
And I, the more I have listened to things now, I wasn't too far off from what I believed.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's nothing new.
Right. That, and yeah, and the sad part about it is that there are a lot of Trayvon Martins out there, and a lot of them didn't get the recognition that Trayvon got simply because that's how the media handles things. But, you know, I'm just on the internet reading story after story how this black boy was shot and killed by the police, or he was shot and killed by a white man, or he was shot and killed by a black man. To me, I don't think that, you know, when it comes down to it, color really has nothing to do with it, white-on-white crime, black-on-black crime. But the thing of it is, it's just so much more prevalent, white-on-black crime. And no crime is good in itself, be it black-on-black or whatever. But, you know, it just seemed like it's just so prevalent now that, you know, the policemen are killing, you know, the black man. The white man is killing the black man. And it's just, it's horrible, you know. So we're not going to really dive all into that, but I just wanted to touch on that, you know, because we hadn't had a show since the verdict. And I was really saddened by the verdict because Zimmerman got away scot-free with murder. And there's another lady down there in Florida who got 20 years, and she didn't kill anybody. You know, so that right there lets me know something's going on with the, you know, the race thing. They said it's not race. They're saying Zimmerman's not white. True, he's not white, but his skin is. And, you know, what he did was totally wrong. The jurors were wrong. You know, that whole trial was just a mockery. And it's sad that, you know, they got away with it. So that's all we're going to talk about, the Zimmerman case. I'm going to bring in my co-host. How you doing, Danny?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Are you ready for tonight?
I sure am, as always.
Oh. Okay. So let me ask you, and Black Man, if you have any favorite show that we did, Bring a Sexy Back. It was launched last year, and Danny's been with me a year with Bring a Sexy Back. So I appreciate you, Danny, for sticking in there with me for a whole year. You know, where you could have been anywhere. You could have been doing your own show, or you could have been doing your own thing. But I do appreciate the fact that you hung in there with me for a year.
Oh, well,
okay.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. I was speaking to Danny. But, Black Man, you've been hanging in there, too, you know. So, like I said, I appreciate anybody who, you know, when they come and listen to my shows, you know, people that tune in from around the world on my show, and I have, you know, archives, a lot of archives from people who listen on their iPhone or whatever, you know, but I do appreciate that. So I'm going to give you, and I'm going to bring in my other co-host, Rhea, as well. Good evening, Rhea. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm going to give you guys a great big round of applause for hanging in there with me. Rhea, you've been with me for almost 3 years now, and Danny's been with me a year or so. And Black Man 37, he's been hanging in there as well. So this is for you guys.
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Ye
my listener audience that goes out for you too. So like I was saying, we're going to talk about the best shows or the episodes that we really enjoy talking about, Bringing Sexy Back. So I'm going to let Danny, what was your favorite episode? What is the episode that you enjoy talking about?
I believe the show that we did February 20th, it was the Menage a Trois, where one lover just isn't enough. I think that's the one where DK was on and Pink Bunny. And I talked a lot on that one. I gave a lot of more input on that show than most of the shows on here. I think that's the one I enjoyed the most because I think I knew more about that subject anyway and because of my experience. And I think your questions was, like, right on point. Like, the whole structure of that show was just, like, it was on point. Not saying that no other show wasn't, but I know that show I enjoyed the most, and we had fun, you know, talking about that and our opinions and stuff like that. And, you know, I enjoyed that show the most. It's another show, but I can't find it. I can't think in my head. I remember it, but I can't remember, like, the name of the show, but I remember the caller that called in, and he was a porn star, and he admitted that he messed with transsexuals and stuff. But I couldn't remember the name of the show and where it was at, and I went to look back, but my computer was acting up. So my favorite one, again, like I said, was the Menage a Trois, because I talked more to him.
He was a porn star messing with transsexuals?
Yeah. He was. I remember him, and I don't remember. I don't know if it was the guy. I don't know if we were talking about download guys. I don't even know why he called in. I know he called in to support me, but I don't know exactly the title of the show. And I remember DK was there because I remember DK and Delicious asking him questions. And he was honest enough to answer the questions, and it was just weird. Like, he was just very honest because, you know, you don't find most men to tell the truth like that, especially a porn star. And it was just weird. That was another show that I was just like, wow, like, I can't believe that you really said that. But, you know, he went into it from his childhood on up and stuff, but I just can't remember the title of that show.
That could have been the addiction to porn or the Are You a Good Parent If You're a Porn Star? One of those shows, I think it may have been.
Right.
I'm not really sure. But, yeah, that was a pretty good show as well. That
right,
definitely was a good show. So, Rhea, what was one of your favorites?
I can't say the shows per se. I enjoyed majority of the shows when we had callers who actually called in and engaged in the show, especially when we had the guy, I think his name was Tony.
Tony.
He had all that noise in the background.
Oh, okay.
He was talking until he just dropped the call all of a sudden. It was more of the engaging that I liked more than anything else. I know one of the shows that stands out in my head is the show when the guy Mike called in and him and DK, I think it was about Holly Berry, and him and DK. DK said everybody would fall over her, and he said he wouldn't, and DK was deterred. And I thought that to be very funny. And mainly in this regard, it never ceased to amaze me when people use the term all or everybody or things such as that. So things like that stands out in my mind. And many of the shows, I have to admit, where black men called in were funny, especially the ones when he called in and he was doing like, what the hell? He didn't say it that way, but he was like, oh, hell no, let's start this over. I would laugh so hard because you could almost hear him trying to restrain himself in what he was saying.
Wow.
And I would have to put you all on mute because I'd be laughing. And then when you say something to me, I'm fumbling with the phone trying to get it off of me. It's like, you know, those are the shows. It's the engaging that I like more than anything else. Some of the topics that I did like was the show when you talked about orgasms.
Oh, okay.
I didn't care for the there were certain shows that I didn't care for, and I think it was the way the information was shared more than anything else. But the one thing I can say is that majority of the shows that we have that were informational based, they almost all of them hit their mark. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like, because I always walked away learning something.
Right. Well, that's what we like to do over here. We, you know, like to give out information, you know, in case someone doesn't know anything, they can pick up a little something over here on Bringing Sexy Back. Now, I have quite a few of the shows that I really enjoy talking about, and one of the shows is He Really Into You and When Is Cheating Cheating. Now, the reason why I like the one When Is Cheating Cheating is because a lot of people say, and I hear this so much, if you're with somebody and they give you oral sex, that's not sex, so that's not cheating. Or if you're with somebody of the same sex, if you're with a man and you get with a woman, that's not cheating. You know, those types of things. And my whole thing of cheating is when you're if you're in a relationship with one person and you get with another person, be it touching, kissing, having sex or whatever, that is cheating. And people try to make it seem that they do these things, it's not cheating. Like today I was watching a show, and this guy and this girl, she's saying, well, if I find out you're cheating, they generally know. They know that these men have cheated on them. But for whatever reason, they want to be in front of the world on television, you know, acting crazy, saying, if you cheated this time, what about all the other times? You discounted them, but this time he gets a pass, you know. And they say stuff like, well, if you cheated this time, you're gone, you're gone. And they already know that this man is cheating. He's taken a lie detector test, and he's standing up there, I didn't cheat. Then a lie detector test come back, he cheated. No, the test is wrong, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, people need to understand the meaning of cheating so they can, you know, sort of like get out of it or, you know, see. And then there are signs that people don't even adhere to the signs of somebody cheating. Because if your man was coming home every evening at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, or whatever time, then all of a sudden he's coming home 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, then he's staying out, he's changed his appearance, he did this. You know, it's a pattern, it's a things that you have to look for. But some women, they don't even notice until it's too late. You know, even somebody, woman is calling the house or knocking on the door, some woman saying she's pregnant by him, you know, all these old crazy things when, you know, you have to keep your eyes open and listen to that little inner voice when it tells you something. Women, we have that for a reason, you know, but just they don't listen. Then another show I liked was is revealing your ex-partner, your ex-sex partners to your new love, okay?
Yeah.
What'd you say, black man?
I just laughed. I was like, oh, that's opening for destruction.
Yeah, that was a pretty good show because I can't understand when people be saying, you know, well, I mean, if that's what a person really wants to hear, but I think it's basically a setup because if we're in a relationship, and you're asking me how many sex partners did I have? I mean, what difference does it make as long as I'm with you and I'm not stepping outside the relationship, not cheating or anything like that? So what difference does that make? You know, and I really think that a person can already have it in their mind, well, if she tells me she's been with more than 5 or 6 guys, I'm done. You know, so don't look for no trouble if you don't want no trouble.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And did you have, Black Man, did you have any of the shows that you liked?
Usually any show that's dealing with women, I love it. Whether it's giving or receiving, you know, I love it.
Okay. All right, giving and receiving what?
Blow pops. I just love it, licking and blowing and whistling and caressing. And hey, man, I love it.
Oh, so we did have a show on oral sex. What was that one?
Yes, you did.
Yes, okay, we did have a show, and we also had some little steps and things. Okay, the oral sex, a step-by-step guide. We had that show January 1st and April. Yeah, we had that show in April. We sure did
Yes, I got a video from my lady.
And I think you were on that show, too.
I think I was. my lady doesn't do it. She doesn't really like it.
Oh, she doesn't?
She won't do it for, she doesn't really like it. But, I mean, she does it. She does a fairly good job. I'm not complaining, but she doesn't want to. She's like, I've been doing it for a long time. Which is okay. Fine. You know, we got to get something. I'm happy with it.
Oh, so she basically does it just because or?
To please me. She does it
just to please you. Well, yeah. You know, that's kind of good because if a woman don't like it, she's not going to do it regardless. But if she does it to please you, then, you know, my hat's off to her.
Right. And I reciprocate.
Well, I know that's right.
So I love doing that. So it's one of my favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of men appreciate a woman's body like they should.
Right, because some men, they say, and there are a lot of closet men out there that do oral sex, but they don't want to admit it. You know, they'll be all with the guys, I'm like, no, man, I don't do that, that stuff, this, that stuff, that. No, sooner they get home, they can't wait to do it. You know,
I don't know
and
why.
I can't. I don't either.
In that. That is the most. Funnest thing to do. There's no such thing as fun. That is man, that is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love to watch a woman flip out and about lose her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah.
You know how to do your fingers in there just right. Oh, man. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I love a woman to sit on my face, so go figure.
I know that's right. Well, there are all types of positions for you to do that, you know. But if you like the sitting on the face, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Oh, man, there's nothing like it. Oh, my God. I wish she was here so she could sit on my face right now.
I'm a hell. Hurt you, Black Man.
Because it's so fun and when it's clean and it smells good. Oh Lord, if that was food, I'd buy about a pound.
Okay,
I know that's right. Well, like you know, there really isn't anything wrong with it if that's what you know two consenting people enjoy. But you know,
well,
if another party doesn't enjoy, then, you know, there's no need of forcing that person. If you're a person who's into doing that and your partner isn't, you know, and if you got with that person, just, you know, always remember that that's how you came into that relationship. So don't wait till you get into the relationship and then say, well, she don't give me no head, so I'm going to go down here and get some from Mary Jane, you know. And, you know, you already knew that. You know, so if you get with somebody, get it from the, you know, sit down, have a talk, find out what this person's do's and don'ts are, their likes and dislikes are, you know, and then that way when something comes up, you'll be prepared for it or you can make that decision right then and there. Well, maybe this isn't the person that I want to be with because we're not on the same page, you know, then you may have, but I'm more or less, I am a giver myself, you know, so, it just depends on the person that I'm with, you know, and you know how I'm feeling. You know, then you have these, you have some people who won't do it unless you do them, and you know, just crazy. I remember this guy. and it was so funny because he was telling me, I do this and I do this and I do that, blah, 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 what you do. And I'm telling him, so he said, well, when I come over there, we're going to do this. So I said, well, I don't know about that, you know. So he said, what you mean? I said, well, I just don't know, you know, because I would, first of all, I would have to have some type of feelings for you, number one. You ain't just going to come over here and think that I'm going to do that to you just because. So he said, well, I'm going to do you. I said, well, if that's what you want to do, you know, but if there's no type of connection, no type of feelings, no.
Mm.
So guess what? he did not come over.
Oh.
You know, because, I mean, I even though I am a giver, I just don't, I cannot give to everybody.
No.
Because everybody does not, you know, doesn't. Turn me on, you know, or give me that feeling, you know. And I've been with a lot of guys who have just, you know, done me, and that was it, because I didn't have those types of feelings for them, you know, to give them oral. So, and, you know, I let them know up front. I would let them know up front, you know, because if you wasn't like, you know, it just had to be, you just had to be something special. And if you wasn't special, you get nothing special.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can understand that, black man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You do have to be choosy. Can't just do that to everybody.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I mean, there are, if I could, but you just can't do everybody.
Another show was when they had that talk about sex with your child. Now, I was watching Steve Harvey this morning, and this lady, she had a stick. Did you see it?
No, I can't watch that, idiot. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. And this lady had a 16-year-old son, and she was, you know, afraid to have that sex talk with him. She had went and bought some condoms and this and that, but then when she got ready to have a talk with him, she couldn't have the talk with him. And I'm not, I really, when I looked at her son, my little gaydars went up. Now, I don't know if he was or if he wasn't, but just looking at him, you know, I'm just saying, that's just what had happened when I saw her son. So I'm just saying, maybe she don't need to have that talk with him. He maybe need to have a talk with her. But, you know, every child who becomes of age, I think they should have that talk when a child is, I think when they, when with a girl, when she starts her menstrual cycle, and that's usually when they're anywhere from 9 on up, they need to have those talks with children, and little boys maybe at the age of 11 and up. Simply because these kids are getting pregnant at a younger age. I mean, 9 years old getting pregnant, 10 years old getting pregnant, you know. And maybe if these parents would sit down and explain to their children and have these talks with them about the birds and the bees, quote unquote, or, you know, these sexual talks that they need to have with their children, then maybe they can deter some of the things that happen, you know, because I never had those sex talks with my mom coming up, you know, but thank God I had a couple of older sisters and, you know, some friends who, you know, sort of like put little bugs in my ears. But I'm telling you, if someone had told me that the first time you had sex, that it was going to be so painful, I really think that right now I probably would still be a virgin, because that is something I would never, ever, ever want to go through again. And I think parents should tell their little girls, you know, what's going to happen when they have that first, when they have their first sexual encounter, be it with their husband, boyfriend, or whatever. that should be known to them, because maybe it'll give them something to think about. Because like I said, if I had known it was going to be like that, oh no. I don't think I would have did it. I really don't. Another good show we had was Toys Are a Must.
Yeah,
what I liked about
that.
Yeah. What I liked about that show is, you know, how it was, you know, things were explained to men, because some men have this macho thing about them. Nah, she ain't putting nothing in me. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing that. But toys are not to replace anybody. They're not for replacement. They're just to enhance relationships. And sometimes you need those little enhancements or those little things to ignite a relationship that's dying or that's dead, you know. And, you know, if a man accepts his girlfriend when she comes to him and say, well, you know, sweetie, I want to use this or I want you to use that on me. And I find that some men love to use toys on their female partners. Then some men love it when their female partners use toys on them. And I'm not speaking of inserting anything into them. I'm speaking as far as like vibrating dildos that they can use while they're having oral sex. And then some men also like toys to be inserted. And then they have toys for men, for women to use for the insertion in the anal area for men. And men love that. Some men don't, because they feel that it's a homosexual act, you know, that's going on. But if you're with a woman and you trust this woman and you love this woman and it's just between the two of you, then, you know, you really don't have that to worry about. I think most men who feel that way are a little bit insecure with their sexuality, you know, because a man, he can say yes or no, and it's a done deal. You know, but for him to go through, no, because that's homosexual, I ain't like that. Okay, whatever. But trust and believe, they want to do it. They want to do it. But it's just all about that trust and getting that thing out of their head as far as like feeling like it's a homosexual act. And you can't feel that way when you're with your woman. Now, if you're with a man, of course, it's a homosexual act. So that was a very good show. And plus, the young lady who was on that night got a chance to promote her business, because she sells toys and potions and lotions and all those good things, enhancements to, you know, keep a relationship going. And I used to do the same thing. I don't know if I'm still in that position, because I haven't done it in so long, but I used to be a romance consultant as well. And it's a lot of money in it, and I met a lot of people, and it's fun, you know. And you'd be surprised at things that people don't know as far as their sexuality is concerned. You know, because some women don't even know they have a G-spot. Some women don't even know what an orgasm is. You know, some women don't know what foreplay is. You know, all these things that women didn't know until, you know, I went into their homes and, you know, had the presentation with them and let them smell, feel, and touch the toys and, you know, different things they could do in the privacy of their home, opposed to going to one of these little corner porn shops or whatever. You know, because I, whenever I went into those shops, I always felt a little intimidated, because it was mostly men in there, you know, and when you take your stuff to the counter, she's not going to tell you how to take care of it or, you know, how to store it, you know, how to use it. And see, that was the purpose of me coming in and having the parties in the privacy of, you know, women's home, and even some co-ed parties I did. And, you know, they felt comfortable. I felt comfortable. Everybody was, you know, getting along good. And, you know, something was taught that night. So that was a favorite show of mine as well. Toys Are a Must. So does anybody else have any other favorite shows?
Did you talk about if a woman has multiple or if she comes multiple times and how if it's done too much, the pain, that's painful after a little while? Did you ever talk about shows like that?
I think we did because there was a lady who like orgasms like 100 times a day. It's something because we talked about the article that was circulating.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we did.
Okay.
And it was two cases so far. One of the ladies that was having those multiple orgasms had killed herself because she said it was painful. She couldn't get any help, and, you know, it was just embarrassing. You know, any place she may be, all of a sudden she's having an orgasm. And, you know, people who are not in her position don't understand that because people are saying, wow, I wish I could have an orgasm at any time I want. But see, you don't realize that even when you do have an orgasm, you have to recoup. And having 100 orgasms a day, that has to put some wear and tear on a body. So, you know, it was kind of sad because I read that the other day on the internet. But, yeah, she killed herself because she couldn't take it, and then it was an embarrassment, and she couldn't be in a relationship. And, you know, so she just checked out. But,
wow.
I really feel bad for her to, you know, kill herself on account of that. But I'm quite sure that if she had gotten with a proper doctor, it could have gotten to the point where it was at least under control through some type of medication or something. So I don't know. But
I seen a documentary on it, and really there's no type of medication they can actually give. The only thing that one person did try was shock therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And it decreased the symptoms for a little while. But that documentary was done like 3 or 4 years ago. But I'm not talking about women that have that sexual orgasm syndrome. It's a title for it, and I forgot what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about just a normal woman. Okay, for instance, you know, lady I'm with, she comes so many times, she's like, okay, it's starting to get painful. So, you know, I'm talking about like that. Because I don't know if that happens to a lot of women or some women where it just gets to the point where it just starts getting sore.
Oh, after she has multiple orgasms?
Orgasms or just come so much that it's like, oh, okay, starting to get sore.
Well, I can imagine that it would be sore. I don't think from the orgasm per se, but I think it would become sore from all that friction, you know, or the penis going in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, and then, you know, it gets a little sore, yeah. But I don't think from the orgasm.
Okay.
You know, that's just my opinion.
Okay.
And I'm sticking with it.
All right. There you go. Because I know it's sore for y'all if we just keep, you know, going, you know. Because, you know, some men, they just ram, 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 ram. I don't believe you have to ram it constantly because after a while, that stuff gets irritating to me. Because I don't know if men talk about this, but sometimes that gets irritating to you, to men, too. Just to constantly just ramming and stuff. Because a man shouldn't have to just ram all the time.
Right.
You can ram it a little bit, then you know, you do that slow motion, you know, you do your stroking, and then you slam, you know. So I don't know if y'all had talked about that or not on your show, but I just wanted to.
Another show that I enjoyed a lot, and I think I enjoyed sharing my experience, but I think I kind of was in awe at Danny's reaction to me. And that was the show when we talked about actually making love and how this, that, and the other. And at the end of the show, Danny said, wait a minute, y'all need to school me because evidently I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, I remember that show.
He said, I ain't never been through all that stuff y'all talking about. And I remember after that show, I don't think I went to sleep that night. I was so hyped up. I was like, damn. But that was funny to me. I mean, she just bust out all of a sudden and said that. I'm like, okay. Because if I remember correctly, Danny said, yeah, I get up and I go in the kitchen and I cook. And I'm like, get up. How the hell is that possible?
I remember that show.
Yeah, I remember that show. About, y'all was going in over there.
Right, because you were talking about how you like to.
So that was a really, really good show because we had some, all of us had some good, you know, exchanging and things like that. I enjoyed that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we had also talked about after we, you know, you finish sex, you want to cuddle.
I like
cuddling
and all that other shit. Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah, Danny said, no, I get them, go for some meal and do this and do that.
Baby, please.
Y'all over there cuddling. You over there listening to the damn birds and the bees and shit over there, delicious. I'm like, what the hell? Y'all must be doing something wrong. Y'all over there, what?
Yeah,
that,
I like
was
to
a really,
too.
Really good, that was a really good show. That was fun to me. And I also like the shows where we talked about, like, changes in, I guess, the way people are rearing their children and things such as that. We talked about things that used to happen and things that happen nowadays and, the different. I like when we make those correlations because not only do you usually learn something, but it kind of speaks to the reason why things are deteriorating the way they are.
Right. I think that show was, can a single parent raise a child successfully?
Yeah,
that was a pretty good show. I did enjoy that show because, even though they're households with single parents, I think children do need a male figure and a female, you know, because that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a mother and a father because they have to learn from each parent. And especially when you have a son in a household, a son and a daughter. Daughter learns from the mother. The son learns from the father how to be a successful man and how to treat women. And the daughter learns from the mother how to treat a man. And if there's no man in the house, then the daughter, she can't see these things visually because children, that's how they learn visual. And she can't see how, you know, you're supposed to treat a man. So when she gets out there and run across a bum and he gets to treating her like trash, she's not going to know that that's not the way she's not supposed to be treated because she never saw how a man, you know, would treat a woman. So she gets in that relationship and, you know, she gets used to it and, you know, feels secure in it. And then it creates a pattern. Those are the types of men that she eventually will end up with in each relationship. So I think it is important for a man to, you know, a father to be in the household, you know, so she can see her father, you know, lovingly taking care of the wife and, you know, kissing his wife and hugging her and saying sweet things to her and, you know, just see these things so she knows I want a man just like my father. You know, so that definitely was a good show, you know, because now not to say that children can't be raised successfully in a single-parent home because if that's all you're working with, then maybe you have, like, a brother or uncle or someone, you know, that steps in to give that boy that male figure type of, you know, relationship. But I've seen some families that, you know, had a father in the family and maybe he was lost in death or, you know, maybe he just left. And the little things that the boy did learn, you know, transpired over into his life. And then some children have this ability to say things like, well, I don't want to be like my father because he was no good. And they, you know, sort of like make that pattern for themselves. Or I don't want to be like my mom because she was a crackhead. You know, but if you're in a loving family, two-family home, and your parents are rearing you the right way, then, you know, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the girls, the way they dress today, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's you know, I was somewhere. I forgot where I was at, and I saw these, oh, I know where I was at. I was at my granddaughter's school recital. She was at a recital. And these girls that was coming in there, I thought they was the teachers. And she said, I said, how old is that girl, 14? She is no way, how in the world could she be 14 dressed like that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to blame some of these parents as well, because if you let your daughter go to school with green hair and orange hair, all these different colors hair, you know, that's your fault. Because, number one, I haven't seen anyone born with green hair. Not yet, you know, but why would you let your daughter just to keep up with her friends, you know? Oh, Mom, I want it because Mary Jane got it. Well, that's what Mary Jane got. You're not Mary Jane. You're not going to go out here with no green hair. You know, then they have these piercings. And I thought you had to be 18 before you can get tattoos and all that crazy stuff. These kids have tattoos, had his tongue pierced. Oh, my goodness, it's just, well, that's that, you know, but hopefully hopefully these kids that are in these single-parent households, you know, will grow up and be successful and, you know, can get on with their lives. Another show was sexual dysfunctions in a relationship.
Ooh.
That was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good show because we talked about the dysfunctions as far as if a partner was sick or unable to perform or, mm-hmm. you know, just what was having problems with performing sexually, you know, what was the dysfunction and what was the cause behind it and what was the remedy for it. And a lot of men use Viagra, Cialis, and all those drugs when there are natural things out here that you can use. They're taking a chance on using those chemical drugs because, number one, Viagra causes heart attack, blindness, stroke, death.
Hard dick and blind.
Yeah.
Baby, where you at?
And do you know when they suffer from priapism, whatever it's called, when their penis won't go down,
mm-hmm.
when they go to the hospital, a doctor has to stick a needle in it and
oh,
draw
bullshit.
The blood out of it to make it go down.
Oh.
So if a man wants to go through all that, I don't think.
Just get you some China Bush, gentlemen.
Yeah,
something that I heard a man say to me. Yep.
Have you ever heard of The Rock?
No.
Well, they have this thing. It's called The Rock, and it looks like a rock. But what you do is you wet a little teeny bit of it, a little teeny, you wet it and get it, like, you know, soft, and then you rub it on the penis. And that keeps it hard. But you would have to wear a condom because if you don't, it also will make the vagina, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know. You're scaring the hell out of me.
No, It'll make it, what did you say?
I said, you're scaring the hell out of me. I got a rubber rock on my dick. And,
no.
I can't put it in there? No.
No, you can put it in, but if you don't wear a condom, it will cause the woman to feel, oh, I know what the word is. The word I'm looking for is, but anyway, because I had used it one time on this guy we was in a relationship. I had used it on him. And we wasn't using a condom. And I couldn't, it makes it, not frozen. It makes it.
Cold?
No, it makes, you can't feel anything.
You don't have
sensitive. Oh, numb.
Yeah, okay, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah, it's numb. You have no feeling when he, if you don't use a condom with it. You know, it makes the woman's vagina numb. So, but it works.
Hell, I don't want
But it works. It works, you know, for the man, and he don't have to worry about his penis staying hard, you know, 4 or 5 hours, because I think after he's finished, it eventually, you know, it goes down. But now you can't put too much on there neither. It only takes a little bit. And also, like you had mentioned, the China Beach, that's good too. Now this guy, he said he had mixed some of the stone with China Beach, and he said, my dick was hard for 24 hours.
He overdid it.
You notice that the younger generation are using Viagra.
Yeah, because
right.
That's what they said they're doing in pornos now. These guys are popping pills.
Right, right.
But they're very young. We're talking about people in their late 20s, early 30s. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you serious?
Yep.
When you read CTA, you hear some of the damnedest conversations.
Ain't that sad?
Yes,
and
it
I'm
is.
Like, wait a minute. What the? Yeah.
20-something years old, and
yep.
You got to get
yes,
your, you got to use something. Please, when I was 20-year-old, my stuff, well, you would swear it didn't ever go down.
But you know what? You know what's causing these guys to step to Viagra? It's simply because of how they're doing their bodies now. They're using more drugs. They're drinking. They're not taking care of their body. And so when you don't take care of something, it sort of like depletes. So, and then there's smoking, because smoking has a lot to do with a man who has erectile dysfunction. Smoking, drinking, drugging, not eating properly. You know, these are things that, and if you're on medication too, these are things that will deplete the man's sex drive. See, because men, they're really not supposed to become impotent until they're like in their 40s, because they begin to lose testosterone. And but like there are guys in their 20s that are taking Viagra. Yeah, and that's kind of sad, because in your 20s you're supposed to be going like a rabbit.
No, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be going like a rabbit, but I don't know. They just
That's terrible.
Yes, it is. It really is. Then another good show was What a Woman Won't Do for Love. They will rob, steal, cheat, and kill. But I don't know, that's just, you know, how some women are. They are so desperate to have a man, or to say, I got a man, they just do anything. And I would rather be alone than to be with somebody who doesn't do nothing for me. You number one, you don't work, you don't enhance my happiness, you sit around playing these games all day, you get high every day, you drink all day. I mean, what are you doing for me? And why do, I mean, you know, some women, you better wake up. You better wake up, because they always tell me, well, at least I got a man. No, honey, that is not a man. Because, number one, a man is going to get up and go to work. A man is going to provide. You know, a man is going to do things for you that, you know, this male that you have all day just sitting home doing nothing is not going to do. So, you know, for you to say you got a man, make sure it's a man. You know, because there are a lot of males out here. Yeah. A lot of males out here in relationships, and they ain't bringing nothing to the table. And, you know, these women that are on getting public assistance, living in Section 8 housing, as soon as they get their check on the first of the month, they buying their boyfriend rims for his car, you know, buying him Xboxes. And that is the stupidest thing. I cannot stand when I can't even stand for a person to even talk about those, especially a man, to talk about, well, I was home playing a game on my Xbox, and then my girlfriend came in and she threw a fit and broke my Xbox. Negro, please. I can't even see the fascination behind those things, because all they do is stimulate your brain in the wrong way. The games, what are they called? Steal, car theft, raping, robbing, killing, all this so crazy stuff. What is the point of that?
Yeah, good question.
I know the first time I sat there and watched my son play Grand Theft Auto, my face just fell open. It's like, are you serious? He said, yeah, and the more direct kills you get, the more points you get. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, he was a grown man at that time. And I'm just like, why? And kids are playing this? And then you wonder why kids out in the street doing the things they doing.
Yep. That is right. And here's one of my good shows, too, Men on the Down Low and the Women Who Love Them. Yeah.
You know what? Another. I don't know if this is on this on this one. I think this is when we were still doing every Friday. When you had the guy on, when you were talking about what is it? BDMS or BD whatever.
Oh,
and you had
what's his name?
I can't think.
Master J. Yeah, Master J. Yeah, he was supposed to came back to the show, but he's been so busy. But, yeah, that was a good show.
He called me out, and I just backed the hell up. I'm like, okay, I'll listen. I mean, I'll at least listen. And I can understand that's what you like to do, but. But that was a very interesting show. I learned a lot. And listening to him. Talk, I learned a lot on that show.
Right, because when you do that bondage and all that kind of stuff, the woman, you know, you have to have some type of control, and you can't do that with just anybody. You know, you just can't go to the club and pick a guy and y'all go somewhere and he tied you up. Oh, no, this would have to be with somebody that you trust. You know, if you're in a relationship with somebody or somebody, like I said, someone you trust, you know, to go through those type of changes, because too many times people have ended up either dead or missing or hurt seriously when they go through those changes, especially when sadomasochists. And if a person is dispensing pain to you and you don't have a safe word or you don't know this person, they can actually beat you to death, you know, or beat you to a point so bad you wish you was dead. I remember a girl who was into, you know, her boyfriend used to, you know, beat her and then have sex with her. And a few days she was missing from work. Kind of find out he had beat her so bad he had beat her unconscious.
Oh!
And left her. I wrote a little short story about it in my book, and he left her. And when she came to, she had two black eyes. And I think her ribs were bruised. But she had been doing this, you know, they had been doing this, you know, all along, but for some reason something just went awry and he just left. And I don't even know if she was in a relationship with this guy or whatever, but you just can't trust any and everybody to do things to you, especially in an intimate setting, as far as when it comes to bondage and sadomasochism and, you know, being dominated and stuff like that. You have to get somebody that knows what they're doing, number one, and somebody that you trust. But, you know, that's what had happened with her.
Yeah.
And
your ass and then have sex with you? That's going too far.
But, see, there are women who actually enjoy that. That's what they do. They like it. But, see, it's not to the point where they are, you know, beating you like that girl had gotten beat. And like I said, I don't believe that they was, you know, in a relationship. He just got over there and went crazy or whatever and beat her unconscious and then left, you know, because if that was her boyfriend or whatever, I'm quite sure he would have, you know, maybe called an ambulance or waited till she came to or something, you know. But just be careful when you decide that you want to dive into that type of lifestyle, because there are things that, you know, you might have a safe word or you know, some, you just let your partner know from the beginning, well, I don't want you to hit me too hard. I don't want you to do it like this. You know, you get those things out the way before it even starts. And, you know, then it'll be all good for both of you. But if you go into something that neither one of you know anything about, you just want to try it or whatever, it can end up being a tragic act. Someone could lose their life or be seriously injured. So that was a good show, and I think that was before we started doing Bringing Sexy Back. Yeah, I'm going to have to get Master Jay back on the show whenever he's not too busy. But he's busy. He's doing speeches and setting up different things because, you know, he's into that lifestyle. But, yeah, I'm going to try to get him back on the show. Yeah, so another good show was Signs You Might Be Bad in Bed. Now, some of us may not know it when we're bad in bed unless we're told. And then some of us know it.
Some of us
care.
Are lied to when they get big heads.
Huh?
And some of us have been lied to when they got big heads and they walking around here thinking that's it. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
we talked
true.
About that. And when, actually, I think that's when you brought up somebody. He talked about how good he was and how he did this and he did that.
And then why, you know, that's another thing. Guys who brag about, I can do this, I can do that, I'll make you climb the walls and this and that, and get them, oh my goodness, it's just such a big disappointment till you just want to take a sledgehammer and hit them on the top of their head with it. You know, why are you bragging and really you can't do anything? You know,
well, you brought that up that same voice again. That was hilarious to me. But yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah. Yeah, you just don't be bragging and saying you can do this and you can do that. Then, you know, there's some other points too that the signs that you may be bad in bed. If you go to bed with looking like looking like I don't know, like you've been in a fight or something, or you know, it's the way that you have to present yourself when you go to bed with your man. Now, personally, I don't sleep in nothing when I go to bed, so
hey.
Yeah, I can't. Well, see, the reason.
You're doing it again, man. TMI.
No, the reason why I sleep nude is because I have hot flashes during the night. And when I used to when I used to wear something to bed, I would wake up and I would be naked anyway because I take it off in my sleep or whatever because I'd be just sweating. So I just don't go to bed with anything on. And that's just that. Now, if he can't accept that or is not pleased with that, I'm sorry. You're just in the wrong bed. But I'm not going to subject myself to torture all night because them hot sweats are nothing nice. Nothing nice.
That's also a good topic, at least for me it is.
Hot flashes?
Menopause.
Oh, okay.
Because
what I read
about.
Y'all want to talk about this, y'all don't come on the show that day.
No,
don't.
You know what? They
be
killing me. You need to learn about it, too.
No,
that's
because
true,
you know what?
That is true.
How old are you, Danny?
32.
Okay. I knew a girl who started going through menopause when she was 30, I think 35, prematurely. But it can happen. It can happen. She lost
her hair. My sister started they called her premenopause at 27.
Mm-hmm.
She's
been
having hot flashes. She's now 40. I'm 50. She's 44. She's been having hot flashes since she was 27.
Yep, and see, it's every woman's going to go through it. Trust and believe that.
Right.
You're going to go through it one way or another. And I'm still going through it, but my sister, she's 7 years older than me, and she says she's not going through it, but I know she's been through it. You know, then some women say, well, I ain't, because just like I used to tease this lady at work, and she used to say she was having hot flashes. So I said, well, I ain't going to never have hot flashes. She said, okay, we'll see. Honey, when I started going through menopause, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if I was coming or going. I cried for 2 weeks straight. I mean, it was a trip. You hear me? So everybody's going to go through it, and I'm still going through the hot flashes, and everybody's saying, well, you need to get HRT. No, I don't want to get any hormone replacement therapy because, number one, that causes other complications. I have my own. I have fans that I use. I have, when I was working, I filled a glove with ice and carried that around with me and put it on my pressure points and cooled off like that. But not getting off the topic, but we were just talking about how to not be bad when you when you know you're bad in bed. But, you might be bad in bed, but, yeah, you need to put on your little sexy lingerie if that's what you do, or, you know, maybe go to bed nude or whatever. And don't have your office on your bed and, you know, have your room looking nice, you know, because those are things that will be a little bit tempting, you know, for a man if he sees a bedroom look nice and sexy and, you know, you got your little lingerie on and the bed smelling good and, you know. So, you know, you got to change them little things up if you know, because that can help too. It's not always about the sexual part of it being bad. It can be, you know, different things that you're not doing that you should be doing. Like if you had the same sheets on your bed you had on your bed last month, oh, no, that's a problem. But, yeah.
Oh, that's a big problem anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, we're going to take a little break and come back, and we're going to continue with the best episodes of Bringing Sexy Back.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt, cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely pays the bills we made. Full life that beat him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would take him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hand on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you. later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, "Patty, I'm depending on you, son. I tried to do my best. It's up to you to do the rest." Then one day a strong rain came and washed all the crops away. And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And you know, Mama knew what I was going through, 'cause every day I had to work the field, 'cause that's the only way we got our meals. See, I was the oldest of the family, and everybody else depended on me. Every night I heard my Mama pray, "Lord, give him strength to make another day." So years have passed and all the kids have grown. They ain't just took Mama to a brand new home. But no, people, I shed in tears, but my daddy's voice helped me through the years. Saying, "God, I'm depending on your mom.
That was Clarence Carter. Patches. Hello. Welcome back to Delicious Talk, the segment Bringing Sexy Back. Tonight we're doing our anniversary show, and we're talking about our favorite episodes on Bringing Sexy Back. If you have, you're out there listening, you ever had a show that you like, feel free to call in. The caller number is 646-652-2877. Again, the number is 646-652-2877. And when you call in, hit the one that'll raise your hand, and we could discuss whatever show that you like the best. Okay, do we do this?
Well, you laughed because you were thinking of another Clarence Carter song.
Which one are you talking about, just stroking?
I know why she's laughing. When you say his name, I bet you Patches ain't the first song to come to nobody's head.
No, it's stroking when you say it.
Exactly.
When the one that's not censored, you heard that one right.
Have I ever heard it not censored? I don't know if I heard it censored.
Yeah, because he said if it don't feel good, something to stick it up your ass.
Oh,
something,
wow.
He said, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a censored one, the one that's not censored. I had the one that's not censored.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about from adult movie watcher to addiction? I used to watch porn I wouldn't say I had an addiction, because I basically was watching it to learn a few things that I didn't know. But I think when I first started watching it, I was like, wow, this is something, you know. But then it gets to the point where everything is the same. You know, so I just started watching it for, you know, to learn different things from it. But, you know, you have people who are addicted to it that watch it from sunup to sundown on the internet, movies, have a million zillion DVDs of it, and, you know, just can't live without watching it, you know.
buying books about it and, you know, all this so crazy stuff. So how did you ever watch porn, Rhea?
No. I mean, let me not say never. I have watched it. I didn't enjoy watching it, so I stopped.
Mm-hmm. Danny?
Y'all just funny over there. Y'all just love being funny tonight, don't y'all? Tell you, y'all ladies over there be getting in. Y'all guys want to come to me.
Well,
I gotta watch y'all old heads, man.
Okay,
gotta
watch
y'all, man.
What is
of
your
course,
take?
I mean, I watch it. I do it. I watch it. Mm-hmm. I do it. I think I watch more of it now just to see what's the new thing that's out or what's the big hype of that person that's, you know, being hyped up.
Mm-hmm.
And but before any of it, I used to watch it just to masturbate. And I did the same thing as you, Delicious, as far as, you know, watch it to learn something. And the funny part about it, I would never admit it, but, I mean, I admit it now, but I used to watch gay porn. I used to just watch gay porn because I would just think that it would teach me something. Because if another man can moan from another man, somehow I need to be watching it then.
Yeah, the very first time I saw male on male porn was this tape. This is before they had the CDs, the DVDs, and VHS tape, and it said something on the front of it that had captured my attention. So when I got it home, put it in the VCR, and I was watching it. And this man, first he was with this woman, and they was, you know, doing their thing. And then this man comes into the room. And the man is standing over top of the man and this woman. So the man turns around, and the other man takes his pants off. Then that's when the man puts his penis in his mouth. My eyes got so big, so they would have jumped out of my head because that's the first time I had ever seen anything like that, you know. So I was sort of like intrigued about that because you know how they always say they always like to see two women together, you know. I wanted to see the two men together. So I had embarked on a little journey of getting male-on-male VH1s because they didn't have the DVDs at that particular time and, you know, watching them. But then, like I said, everything started, you know, being the same thing. They was, you know, really it's not that much that they can put anything different in the in these porn movies that they have besides doing the oral, doing it from the front, doing it from the back, gang banging, whatever, you know, all those types of things. Until they can put something new and different in it, I'm not really that interested in them, you know, like I had been. And like I said, when I did watch them after a while, it was basically to learn different techniques or to watch how to do something, you know, that was different or whatever. But I don't think I ever had an addiction to it. I really don't.
Me either. I don't think I ever had an addiction. I just, you know, you enjoy what you enjoy. You're curious or whatever. Everybody has their reasons, but addiction, I don't think I ever have an addiction in myself either.
Right, right, because it's basically how you, because I'm quite sure I know. A friend of mine was telling me how her son, well, she had found out that he was addicted to porn because when she said she had went to sleep one night and her son was on the computer. And she got up, it was like 5:00 in the morning, he was still on the computer, but when she came in the room, he, you know, changed it. So she said later on that day when she went on the computer, when she pulled down the history bar, she said it was full of porn sites everywhere. And that's what he was doing. So she asked him how long was he doing it, you know, had a talk with him and this and that. And he told her that, you know, he really liked it,
you know, but I think at that particular time, I think he was like 16, 17 years old. And that's kind of a bad little habit to have of watching porn when you're 16, 17, being addicted to it, more or less, because
right.
sometimes when you have those, you see those things, you want to do it with somebody, it might cause him to go out and do something, and then somebody may not want him to do it, and then he may, you know, try to rape him or whatever. You know, it could lead to different things that are not healthy
right.
for a 16 or 17-year-old, you know. Not to say it can't happen with a man as well, but a 16 or 17-year-old, they don't need to be exposed to those types of things that early on, you know. But, Then another good show was The Man Texas Withheld.
Say it again?
What's a Man to Do When Sex Is Withheld?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Do he go out and go down the street and have it with Sally Mae? Or do he go? Or do he go?
They say Sally Mae, though. Like, you could have thought of Tanisha, Keisha,
or Shanae-Nae.
Sally Mae.
Okay. Okay. If you go down the street and have sex with Shaquita.
If I go sleep with Shaquita, not no damn Sally Mae. I'm looking at him like he's African talk that wild, because that's the first thing I'm asking. How old is Sally Mae? She must have took 8 inches out or something.
Sally Mae's an old name, yeah. But maybe he went down the street and had sex with Shaquita or Shanae-Nae or whatever, you know.
You know, be a little ratchet. It's okay to be ratchet. It's all right.
Okie dokie. All righty then. But, you know, you can't use sex as a weapon, you know, because men, one thing for certain, two things are for sure. When they want it, they want it. And if you don't give it to them, they are going to go out and get it from somebody. So if you think that you're punishing your man by withholding sex from him and, you know, and you telling your little girlfriend, yeah, girl, because I ain't gave him none in a month. I know he going crazy. No, he not. He ain't going crazy. He is not going crazy at all, because trust and believe, what you won't do for him, another woman will. You know, so don't withhold sex from your man, especially not to punish him. Now, if you're sick or you're tired, you know, maybe y'all can have that little talk with look, baby, we can do it in the morning because I'm really tired tonight, or, you know, when you come home from work or something like that. But when you get in an argument, you get mad and you say, well, you ain't getting no more of this. Watch. You ain't getting no more. You know what's going through his mind? All righty, this is my chance to be with, let me think of another name. This is my chance to be with Africa.
You just went worse, man.
No, this is my chance to be with Africa.
Where is the boo button where you need it? Like, oh, she went from Sally Mae to Africa. What the hell?
I can't think. Let me see. Okay, let me see. Being
I'm going to need you to watch Mari just a little bit more. Just watch Mari just a little bit more. You're still
getting okay.
Names.
Okay,
just
what about Candina, Cantina, whatever, Katina, whatever, yeah. Because I'm telling you, men, they want it and they're going to get it.
That's
and,
true.
You know, like I said, don't use sex as a weapon with your man, because it ain't going to work.
I remember that show because I shared a view that I have that is very controversial, especially with women. When I stated that, first of all, a relationship is a living thing that has to be fed and has to be nurtured, and it's made up of those two people. Now, you all have defined what that relationship is. Once you are determined that you're in that relationship with one another, if sex is part of that relationship, sex does not belong to those two people anymore. It belongs to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you doing something such as that can very well be the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Because when you flip script like that, well, you know, that old saying,
However you start this relationship, whatever, don't start something in a relationship that you're not going to continue, because however you start that relationship is how that relationship is going to be expected to be. Then, you know, like, because they say, especially women are guilty of that. We'll act a certain way and do things a certain way, and then we think we got him. All of a sudden, we're flipping the script and doing something different than this, than the other, and then we wonder, why is he moving the opposite direction? Because you've changed up the game plan.
And I
truly believe that if sex is an integral part of your relationship, as it, you know, as it's going, you don't have a right to withhold that.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to that relationship. So that's just like saying that the relationship is not important.
Right, because whatever you did to get in that relationship, if you was going down on him every night and he going down on you every night, as soon as you get tight in the relationship, all of a sudden you stop. He's not going to understand that. You know, so, because I know a friend of mine, may he rest in peace, he's dead, when he said when him and his wife got together, he said they was going at it like rabbits. But as soon as they got married, it changed up. And see, that's what I don't understand. Why do you wait till you get married to change up? I mean, I guess because you figure, well, I got him now. But, hey, just the same way you got him is the same way you can lose him, too. Because if you don't keep it up, he going to walk. That's just how men are. That's just how they are. Well, can you girls believe that we've come to the end of a Bringing Sexy Back?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had a ball. I really had a ball. And, you know, Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listener audience. And our subject matter is sexual but not limited to social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listener audience, for your questions and comments. If you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send me an email at gjdelicious37@gmail.com or to either of my co-hosts, Rhea at riaalexis@yahoo.com. That's riaalexis@yahoo.com. And then Danny at munchthemouth@gmail.com. That's munchthemouth@gmail.com. And make sure you put in the subject line, put topic or guest. And we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, you know, enjoying adult conversation. Don't forget to tune in every first Friday of the month for Open Topic and the last Friday of the month for my musical show. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., make sure you stop by Gail's Blues Joint, where the drinks and the food is always free and there's no cover charge, where I play the blues and sassy music. And always remember, Bringing Sexy Back does not mean you lost your sexy. Bringing Sexy Back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. I want to thank you, Rhea, Danny, my listening audience, Black Man 37, Miss Kane and Tammy. Miss Kane has a show over there on Monday, Celebrity Gossip every Monday. Sometimes she's on Tuesdays. And Tammy has a show every Wednesday, 2 o'clock during the summer, called Death's Entertainment. Please check their shows out. And with that being said, everybody out there in Cyberland who has listened to this show tonight, thank you. I appreciate you as well. Everybody have a good night and the rest of the week. And see you guys. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Wait a minute. Stop. You can't do anything right. What you doing in there? Damn, that ain't the way you're supposed to sing it.
There's so many places I want to kiss you, baby.
Why don't you stop talking to me like that? What do you want from me?
Feeling. How many times I gotta tell you? You gotta sing this thing with some feeling, some heart. You gotta sing it like I told you to sing it.
But I'm the only man that knows how to keep you.
Now do it again.
Okay, baby. Yo, there's no way to talk to your woman, man. Body of mine, I believe you. No way to talk to her or anything. Believe that.
Yo, I'll take care of you later.
The things that I will get you. Okay.
Good night.